Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
HIV is still an issue in Montgomery County. The more open we're able to talk about HIV, we treat it like any other health prevention.
PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. People who are not HIV positive, who may be at high risk for contracting the disease, this is a good choice for you.
It's just a way for you to sort of take control and say, I'm going to do this to protect myself. Do it for them. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about PrEP, the HIV prevention medication. Visit doitforyoumc.org.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Yo, what's happening, Rush Nation? It's Murph here. It is Friday evening. We're here to break down what happened yesterday in the NFL draft. I've got with me two esteemed colleagues here, part of the 5 Yard family. I've got from some different branches as well to get all sorts of different perspectives. First of all, I've got Nick, part of the DFS content. Nick, how's it going?
I'm good, buddy. You?
Yeah, all good.
Thanks for having me on.
Your Rams didn't make a pick last night, so you haven't gone through some of the emotional trauma that... I don't think I had any emotional trauma, to be honest, but I think Ash probably of the three of us did. And Ash is here as well from the 5 Yard College branch. Ash, how's it going? How are you feeling this morning?
I'm a little tired, but no, I'm doing good. It was fun and good to finally get the first round underway. But now the real excitement begins. The next 2 days is where all the action is.
Yeah, I think we kind of got some answers to some questions that we had. Not as many shocks or surprises as I think we were probably expecting. And I think as a whole, a little underwhelmed with the overall presentation of the draft. I thought that Goodell's chair was a bit naff. And, you know, they didn't have as many, you know, like, I feel like it needed a David Akers winding up the crowd. I think it needed people to go in there and like sort of wind up and stir up the crowd. It was a reduced crowd. The only time it got exciting was when the Steelers picked and there was a load of booing. I was like, oh yeah, there's people here. Very quiet. The house band were good. I'll give them that. Sweet Caroline might be my the highlight of my evening, I think.
I think that was my highlight as well.
Yeah, same here. Yeah,
I don't even like a song. I hear it at Arsenal every week and I can't stand it. All of a sudden it's on the draft. I was like, oh, it's broken me up with this concoction. All right, happy days. But look, we're going to break through purpose of this show. Let's go through and talk about the fantasy aspects and the offensive players. We'll talk about, maybe nudge about some of the other picks as well. There were certainly some big picks, some good picks and some strange ones as well. So let's break it through. And we'll start off with the Jacksonville Jaguars first overall. They selected Trevor Lawrence. Absolutely no shock here at all. I think we all kind of knew it was happening. I don't think there was any shocks. And arguably the best quarterback prospect to come out in the last sort of 9 or 10 years. So is there much to say on this? We've talked about it so much already, I think.
No, I don't think so. I think like we've been expecting this for months. We've been talking about the impact that he's going to have on the team for months. No surprises. I think we all know what he's going to bring to the table. And I'm thinking it's now interesting to see how they build around that. I think that's where the interest is going to come for Jacksonville. And we'll be getting onto one of those pretty soon, I can imagine. But yeah, no shocks here really. And we all know what to expect from Lawrence, really.
Yeah, I really dislike drafts like this where you just know who the first pick is going to be unanimously. It's like the worst kept secret in sport. It's been known for months. Likewise with Wilson almost, I'm sure we'll come to. The excitement for me started from pick three onwards. That was the first uncertainty in the draft. But yeah, we know what we're getting with Lawrence, don't we? You know, really, really high ceiling. Pretty high floor as well, I think we can all safely agree. Let's just hope that Jacksonville don't ruin his career.
Yeah, I think, you know, we know what we're getting here, as you say. We're getting an elite prospect, best we've seen in the last sort of 9 years. I don't think there's worry that he will be good. It's worry about, as you say, is he going to have the supporting cast? But he's definitely, for a fantasy perspective, he's one of the top two quarterbacks in this class. For a dynasty perspective, for me, he's the number one overall. There is an argument to be had about another quarterback maybe in redraft this year, little depending on if he gets the job, but we'll get to him when we talk about him. But we'll move on to Zach Wilson. He was selected second overall by the Jets. I did enjoy J.J. Zacharyson talking about it was like his son going to prom, which that tweet did tickle me a little bit. He does look like J.J. as well. Yeah. So. I just found it amazing. I can't remember who said it in our group chat that Zach Wilson's family just all look alike.
Yeah, that was me. They went over to him in the green room. And I was like, I swear he's on the stage. And honestly, like all of them, all the men look exactly the same. It was crazy. But yeah, again, much like Lawrence, I think we've been expecting this for the last month. It may be more for it to be Wilson. There's a little bit of work that needs to still be done in some areas for the Jets, but I think Wilson under center, it seems to be the guy that they've wanted and that they think can lead this offense. And I'm very interested to see how he performs. I've still got my reservations about him. I have done for a while now, but I think he's going to obviously get he's quite clearly going to be starting day one, barring some major setback. So he's going to have to really hit the ground running, and they're trying their best to improve the cast around him. And to be honest, I think the line there now, or again, we'll touch on it in a bit, but I think the line there now is actually quite a formidable one, really, with some of the acquisitions they made last year and some of the guys they've brought in. It should be kept upright. It's just what he can then do with the ball and the guys around him.
Yeah, I mean, and Nick, keen to get your thoughts in terms of Wilson, like in terms of what you think he will do. And look, it's no longer Adam Gase. It's you know, Robert Saleh. It's a Shanahan offense. You know, what are your sort of thoughts on this?
Similar to Lawrence in that, the landing spot, it's just one that I just hope we don't end up with another Sam Darnold kind of situation on our hands, because I think somewhere in there is a good quarterback with Sam Darnold. I actually quite like him. My thing with Wilson, again, I think there's a really high ceiling there, but this is, it's very rare you get a draft where there's five quarterbacks taken all as high as they have been, and they all go on to have even just moderately successful NFL careers. And what I mean by that is just that they're actually still active on the team that drafted them beyond the first sort of 5 years that they're there, or actually starting beyond that point. And for me, this is where I just hope the Jets get this one right, because like you've just said, Ash, you know, he's not short of protection. The question, I suppose, would be the weapons that are around him at the moment. You know, not a great situation there, but I don't know. There's something that I'm just not sold on with Zach Wilson. I think this could be one where we look back in years to come and this is a bit of a bust pick from this draft. I don't know. There's just something there I don't like.
Yeah, he just doesn't excite you, does he? Like, I think obviously a lot of it has been made about his pro day throw, which I think is ridiculous that people have gone on about that so much. And he has shown that he can make plays, but he just doesn't scream out to you second overall franchise quarterback. I think he'll do. I think he will win them some games, but I think more often than not, he's just not going to really set the world alight. And from a fantasy perspective, I'm not overly interested in possibly in a super flex. But I mean, he's not someone that I'd look to target in my personal opinion.
I get that, and I'm with you. I don't have a lot of I think he could be a fine quarterback. I was sort of playing with some rankings this morning. I've sort of got him where I would have Sam Darnold. I kind of view them as very similar-ish players. I think Wilson maybe has a slightly better arm and he's slightly more developed. And he will have better protection and it will be a better scheme. But I think this is really bad for Jameson Crowder. I think you can be out on Jameson Crowder now. They're going to play a lot of 12 personnel. I think you'll see a lot of 2 tight end sets. I think you'll see maybe even 21 personnel. I think you'll see a lot of different personnel to give Wilson more protection to make the plays. And I don't think they're going to just load Jameson Crowder. I think he's going to spread the ball around a bit. But what I would say for fantasy is his cost is going to be so low that it's almost worth a punt. It's literally so low. You're buying the guy, even after he's drafted 2 overall, at an absolute bargain price. He's probably going to go undrafted in most leagues. And you could create a pretty decent little New York Jets stack for virtually nothing. Because you could pick up Mims, Wilson, and either a running back that they draft, or if they don't, Tevin Coleman, in the very late rounds, and you could have that little stash. And if they put it together, it's cost you nothing. And if it doesn't work, you just drop them because it's cost you nothing. So I'm not going to say I wouldn't invest in them, but I certainly wouldn't invest in them above the cost that they're going to be, which is ridiculously cheap. And I'm not expecting them to do much. But sometimes when you're buying people at their absolute floor, they don't have to do much to exceed the line. And that's something I would say about Wilson. He doesn't excite me like he doesn't excite you guys, but I think he's someone I'd keep an eye on more so than I would say 1 or 2 other quarterbacks in one quarterback in this class. But let's move on to someone a bit more exciting, definitely more polarizing, Trey Lance. A lot of debate whether it's going to be Mac Jones, whether it's going to be Trey Lance. It is Trey Lance. I think it's good news for football. I think it's good news for the 49ers. I think it's good news for a lot of things. I do like Mac Jones. I like Mac Jones a lot. I don't for fantasy, but for NFL, I think he would have made them a good team. But I get why they've gone with Lance. It could be a realistic situation that by January, he would have played as many games in the pros as he did in college. So I do think that's quite funny. I mean, again, the players talked about a length, but are we realistically looking at, for this year, the number one QB option out of these 5?
It's difficult because I think there's going to be the expectation and the pressure for him to start quickly in San Francisco. Obviously, we still don't know what's going to happen with Jimmy G. Whoever you speak to, someone has a different answer. I've said it from the beginning and I continue to... I still agree with it despite where he's gone. I don't want to see him on the field this year. Not as a full starter. I still think he needs to sit and develop his game further for him to really excel. And if he does, because he could be the best quarterback out of this class with the traits he's got, his physicality, his physicals, his arm strength. He's got everything you want. He just needs a bit more work. And what I don't want to happen is to him to get thrown in at the deep end, game 3, 4, whatever it may be, and start to struggle. And that's it. Confidence is gone. And will we ever see the Trey Lance that we all expect to see?
Do you think, Nick, that there's a chance he starts week 1?
No, I'm with you, Ash. I think he sits potentially for the whole season. They've got the get out clause with Jimmy G next year, haven't they? I think. I think he sits, he learns. This was a pick where I stayed up for the first 3 picks and then went to bed. Watched the rest this morning, but this was the pick I wanted to see, obviously because it's the one that impacts my team the most. I didn't really want to see them pick Trey Lance because I think it's that nightmare NFC West quarterback that can beat you with their arm and beat you with the legs. And we're already dealing with a bit of that from Russell Wilson twice a year, Kyler Murray twice a year. I think he's in a perfect situation. I think, you know, the analyst made a really good point that he could not have asked for a better landing spot. Rarely you get teams like San Francisco that, yeah, they had their injuries last year, but they were still you know, fairly competitive. They were in a Super Bowl the year before that. There's not a massive amount that's changed in that team since. There's a few key pieces that have been lost, but they've replenished through draft and free agency. You know, he's got a good offensive line there. I just think this is a really good pick, and I think I agree with you, Ash. This could be one where we look back again, and this is the most successful quarterback from this draft if they get it right. If they don't, I think it's a massive risk pick to jump up and give up what they did to take someone with such little college experience. But I love the pick. I think it's a really exciting pick, and he's probably my favourite quarterback of the five that have been picked thus far.
See, I'm very different to you. I think he starts week one. I can't see how you can make that significant of an investment and not do it. I don't see how you can do it. I mean, you've got Jimmy G, who they can get rid of this year, not pay a lot of money. I think it's like $3 million against the cap. And I can see the merit of starting Jimmy G, but let's be honest, Jimmy G's not played in this offense for, you know, half a season, three quarters of a season whenever he went down. So it's not like he's the incumbent. People think like, well, okay, Jimmy G is his job. Yeah, but he hasn't been in that job for three quarters of last season. You know, he is coming off an injury. He might not even be fit. We don't know the full extent of the medical that Jimmy G's after. And I just think for me, if you have invested that much capital in Trey Lance, you're almost prepared to say, this year is whatever this year is. We get the kid playing. We see what happens. We've got the weapons. We've got the talent. We've got a great offensive line. We've got the best left tackle in the league. We have the ability to protect him, but he needs time to play. It's no good sitting him. He didn't play last year. He played one game. You know, I think sitting him, I think hinders his development because he's not coming from a system where he has played a lot. He's played 17 games. You know, sitting him and sitting him and sitting him, it's going to be like, if you sit him again, it's going to be 3 years before he's thrown a ball. I think that's too long for me, I think. I think you get out of the rhythm of being a quarterback.
Do you still think they trade Jimmy G then, or do you think they keep him around? Or because if Lance is going to start week one, is Jimmy G willing to sit on a bench and do the 49ers try and get what they can?
It's not up to him, is it really? I mean, he's got a no trade clause. Someone's got to come in with something. I think I thought he would go to New England. That's not going to happen now. I honestly think right now he is the insurance policy to Denver. That's what I honestly think. I think, you know, we haven't talked about Aaron Rodgers. We haven't talked about all this stuff that's going on. Does he get traded? Does he not get traded? You know, that's for a completely different podcast. But effectively, right now, if Aaron Rodgers is going to get dealt, he could go to Denver. There's a lot of nice pieces in Denver, and Elway will back him. And they'll get whatever they need to do the job. But I can't help but think that Denver are not going into this season with just Teddy Bridgewater and Andrew Luck. I just don't see that. I don't think you pass up at 9 a quarterback, given the fact that you could realistically not have a quarterback on your roster next year and just gamble. So I think that Jimmy G is potentially someone that could end up in Denver. I'm not saying he will. I'm just saying it's an option. I think Denver are going to kick the tires on Rodgers. I think they're going to kick the tires on Watson. I think they're in the market for someone. And I think they made a decision last night, a conscious decision not to draft a player because they think they're going to get someone. And I think Jimmy G is option three. I think he's like, it's a pretty cheapish contract. We could probably do something with the 49ers to take it to where they save some cap room, we save some cap room, and everyone works. But I guess we'll see what happens. But my gut feeling says I think Trey Lance starts week one. And I think if you don't start in week one, I have to question why you've taken him at this spot with that much investment. I think you're signaling to the world that that he's ready to go. But that's my thoughts. But it's going to be an interesting debate. And I think he is the best option for redraft this year if he does start. Because of that rushing floor, I think he's going to put up, he could put up realistically 700-800 yards on the ground. Easy for fantasy football. And I think that's what's going to be the big difference. But let's talk about from one sort of phenom who didn't play, the one that played a lot and is probably the most athletic and freakish athlete in this class. And that's Kyle Pitts. He goes to Atlanta, who are absolutely loaded with weapons. And I mean, this is Matt Ryan's Christmas come early, isn't it, to get this guy?
Yeah, this is my this is my favorite fantasy player of this draft class. I think he would have been regardless of where he landed, to be honest with you. But I think the fact he has landed in Atlanta, which we were all sort of half expecting, hoping that they wouldn't push the button on a quarterback. They didn't. They've gone for Pitts. Like you say, they've added that weapon for Ryan alongside Jones and Ridley. And I can't off the top of my head remember who else is there. But I think he is, his ceiling is wherever he wants it to be. I'm so excited to see this guy on the pitch in the NFL. I loved him at Florida. Everything that he's done, all the tape he's put up, it's just an exceptional player. And I've said it before, I think he's the best pass catcher in this class. I said receiver before, and I think that's a bit harsh on him because he's not a receiver. He is a tight end, but he's a receiver in a tight end's body that can do the tight end work. But like I said, but for me, best pass catcher. And to be honest, he's probably, as I say, he's probably my top fantasy rookie at the minute, and that probably won't change.
Yeah, I agree. Nick,
yeah, I can't disagree. I don't particularly not like the landing spot. You know, I think he's in a good spot there. Good quarterback, good offense, exciting offense. We should see a lot of points from Atlanta. No doubt, we'll see them ship a lot of points as well, as they always do. But yeah, I mean, you can't not love it. There was a lot of talk around, you know, whether Julio Jones is traded away, which is, you know, that remains to be seen. But it'd be nice to see maybe some 12 personnel there in Atlanta with Jones, Ridley, and they've obviously Hayden Hurst they brought in last year, who had not a great season, but not the worst season as far as tight ends are concerned. We probably expected him to be more involved after Austin Hooper was really good the season before. But yeah, I love it. You know, it is an athletic freak. That word freak gets used a lot, doesn't it? But he is a freak.
Yeah, he really is a freak. And on top of that, you know, you mentioned it with the different personnel, but this guy can line up everywhere, whether Jones is there or not. And Arthur Smith is, you know, he's a former tight ends coach. His offense is in Tennessee. Tight ends were targeted the most in each of the last two seasons in his offenses. So I think it's going to be great for Pitts. It's going to be great for fantasy football. It doesn't take a lot for him to finish as a top five tight end, but again, the question is for this year, what's his ceiling? I still, for me, I'm not sure that I think he goes a lot higher than he's worth. I think he's going in rounds 5 to 6, and I'm not sure that optimally that is the best place to take a tight end. But if anyone is going to hit that ceiling, it's going to be him. So, it's going to be an exciting time to see what he does, but. Moving on to Jamar Chase. Now, he goes to the Bengals. Bengals opt not to protect the franchise and not to get a tackle in Penei Sewell and have decided that they're going to reunite Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase. I mean, I'm not shocked. I knew this was going to happen. Yeah. I think it's stupid. I get it, but I do think it's stupid. I think you've got to protect the franchise. We already see the scar on his knee, but he's there now. We can't change the pick. For me, easily the best wide receiver in this class. And based on the landing spots, he's the only one that gets a significant arrow up based on projections and rankings of what could have been for him.
Yeah, definitely. I think his stock is, well, he was top for a lot of people anyway. So I don't think this landing spot has affected him, his stock that much. Him and Burrow had a good relationship last year before last. I agree with you. I think the Sewell was the right choice. We said it last night in the chat. And I feel sorry for Boyd. I think his fantasy value is going to take a bit of a hit from this.
And Higgins.
And Higgins as well. Yeah, I think Higgins are both of them. I mean, Chase steps into this offense as the main man. But everyone else takes a bit of a knock.
Yeah, I don't think the Bengals are good enough to have three.
No.
Three fantasy relevant tight ends, wide receivers.
No.
So someone's going to lose out here, whether it's Boyd, whether it's Higgins. It's not going to be Chase.
No, he's going to command those targets from day one. Burrow's going to be confident to get the ball to him. because they had that, like I say, they had that relationship, and it was a very close relationship. And I love the spot for Chase. I love the weapon for Burrow, but I hate the fact that they haven't protected Burrow, because, as you say, that scar on his knee already, this line's not been improved yet, and it needs improvement, or Burrows is going to be in the dirt again very soon.
Yeah. Nick?
Yeah, I love this spot, but there's two reasons I hate this. One is I do have quite a few shares in Tyler Boyd. He was quite cheap to acquire because of how good T. Higgins was last year. The second one is any teams that I have any shares of Joe Burrow in, I just hate that they have not drafted Sewell. I thought that's where they were going to go. That is the sensible pick, and they've not. And I'm really concerned for Joe Burrow's long-term health. In terms of you couldn't have asked for a better receiver to pair up with Joe Burrow. Like, I think unanimously number one receiver for most fantasy analysts. They know each other from the LSU days. So I love the spot for him, and I think there'll be a lot of the target share will definitely go his way. I think he's straight away is the wide receiver one there. Higgins maybe the two, and Boyd maybe the slot, but I just don't like it for Burrow, and I don't like it for Boyd. I feel like my Boyd shares have took a dive from this.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I would say that for me, Chase is a low end wide receiver two right now. I think you in redraft, that's kind of where you're thinking. I think he can go anywhere, similar to where CeeDee Lamb last year. I think you're looking at anywhere from a 16 to 22 finish for him going into redraft season. One wide receiver whose stock, I think personally, took a massive plummet last night was Jalen Waddle to the Dolphins. And I know Lee's not going to like me for this, but for me in redraft, Jalen Waddle is now undraftable for this year, because people think, like, well, hang on a minute, like, where are you going here? I mean, people forget that, you know, they've got Will Fuller and they've got Devontae Parker, and you've got Tua Tagovailoa, who is not going to support three fantasy relevant wide receivers. We're in a very similar situation to Laviska Shenault and Jacksonville last year. Only I think this is worse, because I think Parker and Will Fuller are very good receivers. You're needing Will Fuller to go down for Waddle to really see significant time in 2021. And I kind of get it. You want to support Tua and you want to give him weapons, but they're making it seem like it's like the situation in Detroit, and he's got no weapons. You know, Devontae Parker is not, listen, I'm not saying Devontae Parker is the end all be all, but he's not a bad receiver. And Will Fuller is a well in demand receiver. And now you add Jalen Waddle, I think that's a really muddled situation. And for me, I just think going forward, Jalen Waddle's just a guy I can't draft. I just don't think I can draft him this year. I just don't see where he's going to be relevant.
I believe Waddle will play himself into being the guy there. I think the issue that you have, I'm more concerned about Tua though. And you say, like you say, being able to produce one or two of these guys are going to lose out. I think personally, with what Waddle can offer in his game, his skill set, he'll get used out of the slot a lot as well. I think he's going to be the one that's going to see more work than Parker or Fuller. I think Fuller might be the one who loses out the most, because I just don't think Tua's going to be able to get the ball to him. We know Fuller's game. We know how good he is on that deep play, and I just don't think Tua can do it. We haven't seen that yet. I hope I'm wrong, because I'm a big fan of Fuller as well. But I agree with you. The landing spot is not great for Waddle, but it's not great for any of these guys now. But I think the relationship with Tua and Waddle and the versatility that Waddle can offer, not only out the slot, but he can line up in any of those positions, and his skill set, I think it will win him out. But he has gone down in my draftability in fantasy now. I wouldn't be looking at him as highly as I would if he'd had landed somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, Nick, what do you think?
I mean, if Chase is still here, do they take Chase? Maybe that's what they were hoping for. there was the talk before the draft that Waddle was the wide receiver number one anyway for Miami. But I think my issue with him is I just don't really like undersized receivers. I know that there's a role for them in the sport, but I always feel when a receiver gets drafted, and I say undersized, he's not undersized for his body or his build, but he's a small receiver. You know, he's quick and you know, speed is a great attribute to have, and there's more to his game than just that. You know, he's very explosive, but I think sometimes receivers like this do take a couple of years just to develop in the league. I don't think they always make the impact you're expecting straight away, or what Miami might expect. Maybe they'll be quite happy to just, you know, let him develop for a season or so, and maybe that's the whole reason that Will Fuller has been brought in to partner Devontae Parker there. But yeah, I'm pretty much what you guys have said. I'm not completely out on him, but I wasn't all that in on him to begin with in the first place, if I'm being honest. Jamar Chase was always number one for me, and I'm probably more of a fan of Smith, who's gone to the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm with you, Nick. And when I say I'm not drafting Waddle, I just mean this year. I don't like his situation in 2021. I think you're right, Ash. I think he plays himself into a role, and I think he will be good. There's no question that Jalen Waddle is a very good wide receiver. I'm not questioning his talent, his route running ability, but I do think it's going to be very difficult for him to be fantasy relevant in 2021. Maybe towards the end of the season, if he's on waiver wise, you pick him up a bit like Laviska Shenault, a bit like a Michael Pittman, and he sort of comes along and he might give you something at the end of the season. I can see that 100%. I don't think you can go out and target him. And I think in Dynasty, I still think he's a long way down my board. And I've actually had to move him down further. And depending what happens with the two Moores and a few other players, that will really determine how far he goes down the board with where their landing spots are, because I just think he's going to find it tough for a while. But we'll see what happens with him. Detroit Lions did the smart thing. They took Penei Sewell. It's great news for Goff. It's great news for Swift. You know, these are the sorts of things that it's not a sexy pick, but you know, they're still relevant for fantasy football. It's a good one. Carolina Panthers took J.C. Horn. They're going to play a lot more man coverage. I am not shocked that J.C. Horn was the quarterback one. I think when we started talking, Ash, and we did, I think, a first mock draft way, way back, I had J.C. Horn as the cornerback one then, and he never moved off my board. So I'm glad to see that. I just love the tape. I love what he does. I think he's a great player. So delighted to see that. Denver, we've kind of touched upon this. They took a real curveball here and went with Satan. This is not a win now piece. This is a developmental. We've got two guys who could come off the roster in the end of 2021, and we're going to need a corner. And we really like Satan. But they addressed the position in free agency. They didn't take quarterback. I've talked about what my feelings are on that. I do think they needed help elsewhere, and I do think that is a concern. If Vic Fangio has to start the season with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock in a competition, he will be out of a job. He will be out of a job come Black Sunday. Black Monday. I'm completely convinced on it.
Yeah, he should have. I think if you weren't going to go quarterback here, if you weren't interested in taking Fields or Mac or Jones, which they weren't, you would have moved, because the areas they need, nine would have been too high, in my opinion. I think some of the key areas that they need to improve outside of quarterback, I think that position would have been too high. Maybe they did try and shop the pick and they couldn't find anyone for it, and then they went for who was their best player on the board. We don't know. We might hear about it, but it's an odd one. I agree. They addressed it in free agency, and it just seems almost like a luxury pick when they can't really afford to do that.
That is the exact term. I think it is that. It's a luxury pick when you can't afford to do that. But we'll see what happens with Denver. I think their story is yet to be written, and I don't think it's going to be written this weekend either. So let's talk about the Eagles. They do a deal with the devil, literally, with their arch rivals, the Cowboys. And who says that rivals internally, in interdivision, don't trade? you know, these two franchises hate each other and they go ahead and do a trade. Eagles move up two. They jump over another rival in the division, the Giants, and take Devonta Smith, which I think is a is an interesting move.
Yeah, it's a kick in the teeth to the Giants, wasn't it? And at the same time, getting the player that they wanted from the beginning. I think they would have taken Smith if they were at if they were at six. To be honest, I think he's been on their radar from day one. And I think he, again, he comes in and he offers something to them straight away. He has the, they say the relationship with him and Hurts, they didn't play much together before Hurts moved on, but they did have some time together. So obviously another comparison of a former teammate joining his quarterback. But I think he steps into this offense as one of the main guys alongside obviously Rager, who we hope is going to take a step up from last year. I like the landing spot. I've had Smith, as I say, to Eagles for a while now, and I love what Smith offers. Yes, he is small. We can't get away from his size, but that's not stopped him being the player he was in college. He's such a complete receiver. He does everything so well. And it's just the size that concerns people. But I think he'll play his way out of those concerns pretty quick. I have somewhat of an issue with rookie wide receivers in the redraft year one anyway. I think barring someone like Chase, people overpay. And it's not often that a rookie wide receiver excels. Obviously, last year we had the exception of Claypool and Jefferson, but it takes time for rookie wide receivers to develop. I personally think Smith, if this offense, if Hurts can take a step, that this he'll perform out the gate, in my opinion, because I think he's going to be given that chance to in this offense as one of the main focal points.
Yeah, and Nick, you like this, and you think he's your number two wide receiver now.
Yeah, I watched him quite a bit last year, and I think the key to this pick, I think once the two top cornerbacks were off the board, this was a no-brainer for Philly. Like you've just said, Ash, you've got straight away that partnership with Hurts, who we assume is the QB1 going into the season, despite all the talks of quarterback competitions and stuff like that. I think we can put that to bed. You know, what I see when I watched a lot of Devonta Smith last year, and what I see is a smaller framed Devontae Adams. That's what he reminds me of when I watch him play. I think he's got everything to his game that he needs to have to make the step up to the NFL. You know, despite the fact that, and I know it's the only question mark over him really, is that he's small, undersized, if you will. That has not stopped him putting up the numbers that he has in college. And I know he's been on a really good offense in Alabama, and it maybe has been fortunate in that respect, but you know, the ball still needs to be caught, the touchdown still needs to be scored, and you still need to run the routes he has. And I just think, you know, there's not a lot to not like here. I think in Dynasty, I think it's a good landing spot because there's not much else to contend with in Philadelphia. They've not got some of the wide receiver picks right in previous years. I think Arcega Whiteside, that ship has very much sailed. You know, the jury's out on Jalen Reagor for season two. We'll see what comes of that. But I love this. I love the landing spot. And Devonta Smith, I really rate him. I hope he has a great career.
So I think you've summarised everything I was feeling. I think good landing spot, opportunity to contribute, partnered well, think he's my wide receiver too. There is always something in the back of my head, and that I think Howie Roseman is the single worst evaluator of talent in the NFL. Tell me a high value draft pick that he has hit in the last 5 years. I can give you one name. Dallas Goedert in the late second round. This guy has a string of misses. He has missed and whiffed on every single pick he has made. He took a franchise QB. He's had to trade because he couldn't keep him in line. I worry about anybody that is, and I hope that Devonta Smith proves it wrong, because he's such a good player. and he's the best route runner in this class. He's got so much going for him that I absolutely believe he could be incredible. But it's the fact that Howie Roseman took him that worries me. That is my one thing. It's the one thing. If it was any other team, I'd be with the situation the same. I'd be all over it. But we'll see. This is Howie's time. He's got to be right at some point, right? So big trade happened afterwards. And we got Justin Fields. Justin Fields goes to Chicago. Chicago moved up 9. Dave Gettleman traded down. Like, I can't believe it has taken a global pandemic to teach Dave Gettleman that actually you can trade down and you can do good things. And he got a haul. Like, let's not face it. It was a great move. He's got a first next year. He got a fifth, a fourth. He got some picks. Like, it was a great move. They obviously got gazumped on Smith. He's like, I'm not going to panic. I'm going to buy myself some time. I'm going to move down the board. I'm going to make Chicago pay. And they take a really exciting quarterback who, I think for me, Justin Fields has probably been the most unfairly treated quarterback in living memory in terms of a draft evaluation process, because there's absolutely no dispute on the talent. No dispute on the talent. There's no dispute on the tape. There's no dispute on the pro day. He had a medical issue he came out and talked about, but he has continued to be slandered in a really unfortunate way. And we've talked about this. I'm not going to hammer it previously, but I'm glad that he has the opportunity to go to a franchise that really needs a player of his talent. And I think it's a great day to be a Chicago Bears fan. And I can't remember the last time I said that.
Yeah, I agree. I think you all know my feelings towards Fields. I love the landing spot. I think a certain Andy Dalton's not going to be overly happy, but I think from Fields' perspective, he is going to be hopefully allowed a few games, maybe half a season, before we potentially see him on the field, unless Dalton and Foles implode on themselves. And like you say, it's an ideal landing spot for him. And yes, the Bears paid, but I felt they needed to. And when you see a player like Fields there at 11, I think this is a good trade both sides, to be honest. I think they might have overpaid somewhat, but I don't think it was a massive thing to pay when you're going to potentially get a player like Fields.
Yeah, I agree. I think when you compare what they've paid for Fields versus what the Niners have paid for Lance, I don't think it's much to give up at all when you compare the two trades. And, you know, I think short memories, but if you think back to the early mocks at the start of last season, you know, Justin Fields was the 1B to Trevor Lawrence's 1A. You know, everyone had him going number two in this draft. He was the second best quarterback unanimously almost. It's only that it's a really strong class at quarterback that we've had two or three more that have emerged since and had a really good college season. There's not a lot not to like here. Does he sometimes stir down his receivers? Yeah, sometimes. All quarterbacks are guilty of that as well. But everything else is there. The arm talent's there. Ideal size for a quarterback that you look for. You know, really good on his deep throws. I like Fields. I like the spot because I think he's got some good talent there. You know, Allen Robinson sticking around for at least another season. It was a necessity pick, I think, for the Bears. I don't think he necessarily starts week one, but I think this was a good pick, and they've not given up a great deal to get someone who most of us thought was probably the second best QB in the draft a few months back. I think it's just that stigma that he's coming from Ohio State that he's slipped as far as he has, and the past history with quarterbacks that have come from there, but that should not tarnish him.
No, he shouldn't. And I'd be the first one to stir the pot there. I've wound Ash up a lot about quarterbacks that come from Ohio State who don't do anything. But I do think Fields is a special, special talent. And I've always said that. And I've always felt he was the second best quarterback in this class. I think overall, he's probably the second best quarterback for fantasy. There is a chance that Dalton starts week one. But I also think it's Fields' job to win.
Yeah.
And I think Foles is finished, probably. But I mean, like, I'm just pleased for Chicago Bear fans because Ryan Pace has done a pretty poor job in the last 4 or 5 years. Mm. And I'm not going to blame Nagy as much. I think he developed a system with the tools that he was given, and he didn't draft, you know, Biscuit. He didn't draft Trubisky. So I can't give him a massive pass, but I give him a bit of one. And it'd be interesting to see now that Nagy has a coach that he wants to work with, that he has pushed for, to see what he does. And if do we really get this special, special player? And you know, don't forget, Nagy was there in the first year of Patrick Mahomes. Like, he helped develop Patrick Mahomes ready for the NFL. And he's worked with a player of this talent. He knows how to get the best out of a player of this talent. And that's giving Nagy a compliment, so I should probably move on. Dallas Cowboys took Micah Parsons. For me, best player available. I do worry what in IDP what that's going to do to Jalen Smith, whether he's going to have some work there going forward and what they do. The Chargers decide to protect the franchise. They did the complete opposite to the Bengals. Took the best tackle available in Rashawn Slater. Biggest need on their team. Congratulations to them. Great pick. Can't argue. Jets traded up, paid a haul, 2 third-round picks to get Elijah Vera Tucker. But again, they're protecting the franchise. I mean, we can sit here and say that's expensive, but can you knock it when you've just made the investment they have made in Zach Wilson? I think you'd knock it if they didn't make a move like this more than them making it. But they do have some holes. Hopefully they can trade and get some more pieces. And then we get to New England, Mac Jones. Mac Jones, a New England Patriot, kind of felt inevitable in a lot of ways. And, you know, for fantasy football, this one is completely irrelevant. Mac Jones is a player you don't need to draft in redraft unless you're playing Superflex, in which case he should be a very low-end player. And I like Mac Jones. I like Mac Jones a lot more than most people. But he offers you nothing in fantasy football. He's not going to throw for 45 touchdowns, and he's not going to rush. I think he had, 42 rushing yards in college? And I know that they take some sacks yards away and things like that, but he doesn't run the ball. He's like Tom Brady. He has to throw 45 touchdowns a year to be relevant, and he's not going to do that in New England.
No, he's the definition of a system quarterback, and he is a Bill Belichick quarterback. And like you say, I said it in the chat last night, they got the man they wanted and they didn't have to pay for it, which a lot of us expected that they might have done. So I think it's unfortunately a big win for the Patriots. I'm interested to see how long it is before we see him on the field. But yeah, I mean, it's an expected, but it's a great landing spot for him. It's probably the best landing spot for him, to be honest with you, the type of player he is and the type of scheme that the Patriots are.
Yeah, good patient work on the night from New England, not pulling the trigger and trading up. They waited, the guy fell that they wanted. And everything you've just said, Ash, and you, Murphy, is perfect quarterback, I think, for Bill Belichick and what New England do. He can slot into that system. I think he'll have success there. Whether he starts day one or not is another story. But, you know, I think it's a randomly put together offense anyway of players that you'd have never thought would be playing together in New England this coming season. It's almost like it's just been thrown together on the fly. But there's some nice enough parts there that, you know, I don't think he'll have all that much relevance this season in any sort of fantasy, but you know, we'll see what happens with Cam Newton, I suppose, on that. But yeah, I really like this pick. And he just feels like a safe quarterback. I see a lot of Matt Ryan when I see Matt Jones. You know, you know what you're getting with him. Decent enough arm, makes good reads, can throw the ball, doesn't rush very often. I like it.
Yeah. I think he's going to be great for the NFL. I think he's going to be very successful. But it's just interesting to see what happens now. I don't think he starts the year, but I do think he will probably finish the year. Then we had a run of players here. Not too much impact on fantasy football. Zaven Collins went to the Cardinals. Arguably the worst pick of the night, Alex Leatherwood, went to the Raiders. Mark on the college team posted his reaction video. I mean, I was in pieces for about 20 minutes when he posted that. it might be the funniest thing I have seen. I'm going to say this year. Yeah. I don't think I have seen anything funnier this year. And I'm sorry that I have to laugh at his pain. But it was just the way that he was just like, please not Leatherwood. Please just Darrishaw. Just take Darrishaw. Please take Darrishaw. Darrishaw. Just take Darrishaw.
Yeah.
Is that out there on the socials? Because that is gonna that I can see something like that going viral. That is a great reaction video.
I just loved it.
It was so funny.
It was so good. And do you know what? If they take Nick Bolton tonight,
I think might be the last we've ever seen of Mark.
That might be it. We might never see Mark again. He might emigrate. England's too close to Las Vegas. I'm going to have to move. Jalen Phillips, love Jalen Phillips. He goes to Miami with their second pick.
Yeah.
Jamin Davis, he goes to Washington. Bit of a surprise pick, very raw, but we'll see what happens. And then the Giants undid a lot of good work of trading down, didn't get their player. They draft Kadarius Toney with the 20th pick. And I get it for the Giants in the sense of what the Giants love is slot guys. Let's just have loads of slot guys.
Yeah.
And they take Toney. And I just sit there thinking, like, is Toney actually going to be relevant in fantasy football, or even in the NFL? I just think his ceiling is like a half-baked Curtis Samuel.
I hate this pick so much because I'm a massive fan of Kadarius Toney.
That makes one of us.
Honestly, like I am. I am a fan. I'm a big fan of him, and I absolutely hate this landing spot for him. And it just makes no sense whatsoever. And that's all I've got to say on it. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Nick?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty. Yeah. Same. He should not have been going in the first round for me. There was better receivers on the board. I get what you're saying, Murph. They like a slot receiver there, but he's, you know, straight away at best, he's number four on the depth chart as it stands right now. Yep, don't like this pick. From what I've seen of him in college, and I did watch quite a bit of Florida last year, no doubt nowhere near as much as you, Murph, but, you know, he can break big plays. He's difficult to put down. He's stocky. He's strong. He's fast. But I just think there's a lot of work there to do with him still. He's certainly not the finished article, very much a diamond in the rough, if you will. And that's whether he ever becomes a diamond.
Where did the Rams take Jefferson? Is it late second last year?
Yeah, I think it was maybe 52, 55, something like that.
Right. I do not understand how Kadarius Toney is the 20th pick and Van Jefferson was the 52nd or whatever he was picked. I don't understand that. Like, I don't get it. Van Jefferson's the better receiver of the two.
Yeah.
He's better in almost every department to Kadarius Toney. He stopped Kadarius Toney getting on the field. In what world is Kadarius Toney, who has played, I'm not even going to say he's played a full season at wide receiver, because I think that's been generous, is, whatever, it's done. Like, the New York Giants never, ever fail to always take the wrong player in the first round. It's just every year, it's always the wrong player. It was Andrew Thomas last year. It's just always, I feel so bad for the fans. Like, they do something good. They trade down. They get a load of picks. You think, wow, they finally get it. And then they still take the wrong player. If they take Rashad Bateman, this would be phenomenal.
Yeah. The ultimate hold my beer franchise.
100%. And like, I don't know what they see that no one else does. It's just incredible. The Colts took a home run pick with Kwity Paye. Caleb Farley, you know, we know the Titans love to roll the dice. You know, they did it with Jeffrey Simmons. That one paid out. They did it with Isaiah Wilson. That one didn't. But they're getting a top 10 player at 22. It's whether or not he's fit. I guess I'm not overly shocked. And then we come to your Steelers, Ash. And they do go running back and they do take Najee Harris. And I look at this pick and I just think, what a waste. What a waste this is going to be for one of the best running backs we could have seen in the NFL.
Yeah, I disagree. I think that I think I there's no doubt about it that the offensive line has taken a step back. But and I
probably
I have my preference. They had a lot. We had a lot of injuries last year. I still think that they will perform. But we need to add people. And I think my preference, and I said it last night, would have been to have gone offensive line first. I don't rate any of the centers first round, so I'm glad they didn't go that route. If anything, it would have been a left tackle or a tackle in general, and then taken a running back in the second, like Williams. Or if Williams isn't there, you wait till the third and pick up someone like Gainwell or that. That would have been my preference. But I am happy with Najee Harris. I think he is the best running back in this class. I think he gives an instant upgrade over anything that we've currently got there. I think he would have been an upgrade if Connor was still in the building. I don't think it's harsh to say that. He offers everything. It's whether, like you say, it's what this O-line does. It's what the O-line does, really. Has the Castro regressed that much? Or did the injury affect him? Kevin Dotson, in the other guards, at times looked good, at times looked terrible. We haven't got a centre. We brought back Finney, who was a backup for us and was a backup at Bengals and Seahawks. And obviously, Villanueva is still in the wind, but he took a step back regardless last year. So even if he comes back, he'll do a job if we bring him back. And I think they will. I think you'll see Villanueva back on the Steelers roster by the start of the season. But they need to address the line on at least two picks within the next four that we've got four picks still to go before the end of the fourth round. So they need at least two offensive linemen there. And I'm hoping it's a center and a left tackle. But I love the Harris pick, and it's been slated in for weeks now. Everyone's had it in there. Some people have said it might be a tackle, but most have had Harris in, and I think they've been leaning towards Harris for a few weeks now. And yeah, I think he upgrades the offense regardless of who he's running behind.
Yeah, I think outright RB1, you know, consensus. Yeah. I think we can all agree on that. I think the line situation isn't ideal, but I don't think him being drafted by the Steelers has really impacted where he is on my rookie draft board or where I'd potentially be taking him in a startup or redraft, I don't think, because he's got that clear path to touches. There's not really anything else in the backfield though. You know, the Benny Snells, you know, that's been tried, that experiment. McFarland, I actually really liked when he was in college. I watched one game, I remember. I think he had 280 rushing yards and he looked electric. Is he the answer at the next level? Maybe not. I know he was drafted fairly late last year. Kalen Ballage, I know he's your favourite player, Murph. I think the talent's there. I think if you do address the line in the next couple of rounds, this potentially looks like a really attractive pick where you've got him. I don't think there's many other places in your team where you'd maybe look to strengthen, because you've got a really good defence there in Pittsburgh, and you know, Big Ben's not, he's getting on, but there's no quarterbacks really on the board I'd have taken at this stage, and the receiving pool is deep there. So I don't dislike this pick. I think once I've had a chance to think on it and settle on it, I think it's not a bad landing spot. I just hope you address the line, and obviously that adds to his fantasy relevance.
I think that's my issue, is I think Najee Harris could have been a potential top six running back in the NFL for fantasy football. But with that line, because no one's taking touches from him. He's locked in for volume. Like, from a landing spot perspective, the volume is great. But the line is just... James Conner's not a bad running back. I'm not saying he's as good as Najee Harris. They're not even, for me, in the same tier. But they struggled to run the football the last 2 years. Like, it's progressively got bad. And when you have a center like Creed Humphrey, who for me, I think is, I dare say, probably a generational center. You don't get many great centers. I mean, that's your starting center for the next 10 years. And you just sit there and think, you can take this guy, fill a massive hole, because it's so hard to get a good center. and then you take, say, a Javonta Williams in the next round, or because the Steelers are in this win now mode, you can trade the later picks and move up and get Javonta Williams or get a good player like that to be a running back. I get running back being the need, but I think losing out on a Creed Humphrey here, or even a Tevin Jenkins, who fills a massive hole, I just think is I just worry that Najee Harris is going to be swimming in treacle next season. That is just my biggest concern right now. And then we have the Jacksonville Jaguars, who decide to take Clemson running back Travis Etienne. I think they've decided that the culture in Jacksonville isn't that great, so they decided to take a college culture into the NFL, which I heard this on Good Morning Football. I heard this on a few places, and I'm thinking, like, you realize that college is like kids, like just barely adults. So you're basically saying the culture is that bad. They're bringing in a culture from non-professionals in, and that's going to be an improvement.
Yeah. I mean,
I know it's different. I know it's different. I know that college football is huge and it's bigger than the NFL. I get all of that, but it wasn't lost on me that the irony that you've created a culture shift by bringing in two guys from the same school, and the word school is not lost on me here. Like, I just think, again, with the Jacksonville Jaguars, I just don't get this pick at all. I don't get it, because this team has more holes in it than a block of Swiss cheese. Like, so many players they could have picked here, and they've gone with a luxury pick that they can't afford. I don't know. I just don't like this pick either.
No, I agree. It baffles me they've gone for this. I've said from the outset that the Jaguars would pick up another running back within the first three rounds. I did not expect it to be in the first round. But yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about Etienne's talent. None of us are disputing that at all. I just don't understand. I just don't get it. I agree with you. They had so many more areas to look at first. I mean, safety, Mo Riggs still there. Tevin Jenkins, tackle still there. We could go on and on about other players that were still there. They could have picked edge. Any of the edges were still there. They desperately need an edge. Just doesn't make any sense.
Even linebacker's still there.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they're still there. So, you know, if they take him at 33 and they take JOK, then they take Musa Koromoa, then yeah, okay, Musa fine. Koromoa, yeah. I mean, if they take him at 33, then okay, that's worked. But yeah, I don't know. But then having said that, if they do get a guy that they were going to take at 25, if they take Jenkins, who's still on the board at 33, then it's justified.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are on the clock. They're on the artificial clock. If they do take a Jenkins because he didn't go, or they do take JOK, then all of a sudden the Etienne pick doesn't look as bad. Because you can say, well, actually, if they've taken that player at 25, you go, well, that's a first-round player, and then you have Etienne. And you say, well, he was the second-round player. And it's like, well, okay, it kind of works. So, I don't know. I guess I just talked myself into thinking it's not a bad move because they might get away with it, which...
Well, I think we're potentially overreacting a little bit because we're looking at it and going, why have you drafted a running back? But you're right. There are three massive areas of needs that they can address with this next pick: safety, edge, linebacker, four, tackle. But they could have addressed two of those and then still picked up a decent running back to complement Robinson. Basically, now Robinson is almost in the dirt. I still think he'll get a bit of work, but not a great deal. This is Etienne's show now. And everyone who's invested in Robinson is, who were laughing when they managed to get hauls for Robinson, are going to be looking at this and be pretty upset.
I mean, yeah, if you bought James Robinson, you're feeling pretty sick right now. I did yesterday in a very, very deep best ball take Carlos Hyde. So that's a pick that I'm not going to get back. But it was the 17th round, so I don't overly care. But, you know, feel bad for me. I took Carlos Hyde because he was the best player on the board. It's very deep, 17 team. So then we got the Browns. They took Greg Newsome, the second. Northwestern getting two players drafted in the first round for the first time. So well done to them. And then the last sort of offensive player we're going to talk about is Rashad Bateman. Personally, my second favorite receiver coming into the draft. He now lands in Baltimore. And I keep going backwards and forwards on this one because I love the player so much. And I want to talk myself into this being positive. And every time I do and I get my head around it, I then go negative on it again.
It's odd. I've got my reservations about Bateman, and I think the this landing spot's not done him any favors for me. But at the same time, the landing spot, I mean, does he walk into this as the main guy? I mean, Brown is not a guy that is going to command the targets. But yeah, I don't know. It's an odd one. It's an expected one. I think we all anticipated that Bateman would be landing with the Ravens at 27, but now it's happened, and you look back at it. Yeah, I don't know what to expect from him, to be honest with you.
I think that, you know, this is the pick that the Giants should have been making at 20, but I think is the landing spot good on paper? Yes, because I don't think Baltimore have this in their arsenal. You know, Mark Andrews, good tight end. Hollywood Brown, you know, downfield, big play receiver. Good for two or three receptions and you know, potentially taking it to the house for you. I don't think he's the kind of receiver that you can target with confidence 130, 140 times a season.
That's good, because that's not going to happen.
Well, yeah. No, definitely, it certainly isn't. And unless he was potentially the only person on the field to target, you know, his hands aren't good enough for that anyway, I don't think. The reason why I wouldn't necessarily like this pick is, like you've just alluded to, Murph, they don't throw the ball that often. When they do, it's not with any sort of confidence that you know it's getting to where it needs to get to. I'm not a big lover of Lamar Jackson's arm, if I'm being honest. And I think because he's going into an offense that's already got target share, it's not massive target share, but it's already sort of distributed between Brown and Andrews and whoever it is that's going to be playing at running back coming out the backfield. For me, it's just like...
Don't they have Sammy Watkins there as well?
Yeah, so
now it's like, do you know, how many times are you actually planning on throwing the ball, Baltimore? You know, that you've not shown us already. And I just don't like that spot. And I think it also weakens other positions on that team as well. I think it takes away the relevance from other players like Andrews and Brown, for anyone who has those kind of players out there.
100%. They don't throw the ball enough. I mean, last year, the receptions leaders on the team were Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews, and they caught the ball 58 times each. So we're not talking a great deal here of volume. In fact, I'm just pulling out my projections, and I haven't amended them from last night, so I might do a little tweak. I will be doing a little tweak, but I'm just pulling up what I project Lamar Jackson to do this year. So I have Lamar Jackson throwing the ball 419 times, completing it 261 times for 3,007 yards. So 261 completions across the team. And that's Andrews, Watkins, Brown, Bateman,
Dobbins,
Gus Edwards, and then all the surrounding cast. I don't see how Bateman gets more than 60 catches.
No, his fantasy value's taken a hit here.
He's wide receiver three. Like 60 catches, we're talking, he's going to need to score a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah.
But we're talking realistically, we're looking at a wide receiver three kind of projection here, which I think he's a better receiver than that. So things are going to have to change for him to to kick on and be good. I mean, to put it in perspective, I have Austin Ekeler catching 75 balls. So that kind of puts into perspective, like, I'm projecting running backs to catch the ball more than I'm probably going to project Bateman to catch the ball. So, yeah, it's a massive worry there, that element of it. But we'll see what happens. So let's round off the rest of the draft. We have Peyton Turner, Edge, strange pick going to the Saints. And then the Green Bay Packers decide to continue the standoff against Aaron Rodgers and deliberately draft another defensive player. So in the last 10 drafts, they've drafted nine defensive players and Jordan Love, the replacement for Aaron Rodgers. And people wonder why he's upset. So Eric Stokes out of Georgia. I mean, listen, I feel bad. Just like I feel bad for Jordan Love last year, Eric Stokes is going to get absolutely no recognition for the fact he's being drafted in the first round of the NFL draft because of where he's going. And that's unfair because I actually think Eric Stokes is a first round player.
Yeah, I think he's first round talent. He's the next guy up after the four that went before him. That's how I had it anyway. I had those four, and then a gap, and then I had Stokes literally bordering on late first, early second. And to be honest, it's a good spot for him. But like you say, he's going to be potentially remembered for the guy that pushed Rodgers over the edge.
And it's not his fault.
No, not at all.
And it's a position of need. You looked in the NFC Championship game, the Buccaneers completely dominated the outsides and made a lot of catches. They need a cornerback. It's not a pick that is a complete waste. It's something that will improve their team in 2021.
Yeah, and what's crazy as well, you mentioned about the picks that they've made in recent drafts. They've spent five picks now in the last 4 years on secondaries within the first two rounds, and when they're still looking for help.
You say that, Ash. There's a team that did that just 2 or 3 years ago called the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And those guys who got drafted the second time round all went on to win rings. Carlton Davis, Jamal Dean, Sean Murphy Bunting, Anton Winfield Jr.
Yeah, that's what
Jordan
I mean.
Jordan Whitehead. Guys have been drafted in the last 3 years. But they drafted guys before that, like Vernon Hargraves. They drafted other players, other quarterbacks that they let go because they just weren't good enough. Todd Bowles and Bruce Arians came in and said, these guys just aren't good enough, and they got rid of them. And I think maybe Green Bay, I mean, I don't know why they re-signed King, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that
was the question mark. And maybe they've signed King, but Stokes is the future there.
I think Stokes is definitely the future here. And like I say, and I like him. I like him a lot, and I think he's a great cornerback. But he's always going to be remembered as that pick that was taken in the 2021 draft if it transpires that Rodgers does go, and that doesn't seem to be dying down.
Well, and no wide receivers taken with the last 18 picks for the Green Bay Packers. Buffalo Bills took Gregory Rousseau. We all love Gregory Rousseau, and good to see him on a good team. And I think the Bills coaching staff are going to get a lot out of him. Jason Uwey, who is just a freak, goes to Baltimore. Be interesting to see if they get the most out of him, but Wink Martindale, I would back to probably do that. And then the Buccaneers, Bruce Arians decided to just literally hit the button and go to bed. Like, they hadn't even announced Jason Uwey, and they'd already put the pick in for Joe Tryon. He was rapid. But he takes Joe Tryon, who had been getting a bit of buzz. And I thought it would be Edge or interior defensive line, and it went Edge. But I like Tryon. I think it's a good pick.
Yeah, I do as well. I mean, there's probably one other edge I would have had over him, but I like Tryon, and I think it's a good pickup for the Bucks, and I think it's a great pick. It's a great spot for him. There's no pressure on him off the bat with the guys that are around him, and he's going to be able to continue to develop and learn from this defense. And yeah, great pickup. And yeah, not much more to say.
Clearly the guy they wanted as well. The pick absolutely flew in, and take note, NFL franchises, this is the speed we like to work at.
Yeah. We do at 4:15 in the morning.
We certainly do.
Well, here's what's interesting is is the Jags took the clock down to 1 minute left with the one pick. Bruce Arians got his pick in within about 40 seconds with the 30-second pick. And he's had to wait for 31 guys to go. It's not like he's got the whole board going, ah, who do we go? It's like, it'll do. Cheers.
And you sort of get it because you know that the broadcast guys are going to be talking a lot and there's got to be the build-up. But this, it did make me laugh, this last pick, the Joe Tryon pick, because it was literally the Bucks war room looked like they were just packing up and it was like, nice one, good night, see you tomorrow, happy days, away we go.
Well, we've had enough. It's past Brady's bedtime, obviously. it was past somebody's bedtime. They're like, all right, better go get some kip. It's been a long night. Who's on the board? Ah, yeah, Joe Tryon, he'll do. Cheers. Oh, wait, whose birthday is it? It's like a Make-A-Wish Foundation thing. What's your birthday wish? To be drafted by the Super Bowl champions. You got it. I mean, I hope they... And then what was funny is they didn't even send him a hat.
No, I know. That's, yeah. That's
his tree's like, where's my hat? Didn't even have one. Shocking. Oh. Roger's got to get fired. Fellas, thanks so much for coming on the Spin a Hoop. I really, really enjoyed this. The draft is on tonight. We'll probably be back Monday with some guests to break down some more picks and what's happened. And then you'll be back next week, Ash, with Tom, won't you, to break down all of this draft goodness. And luckily, Tom, because Mac Jones didn't go at 3, Tom will get to join you.
Yes, he will be carrying on, which is nice.
Yeah, he doesn't have to retire. So that is a win for 5 Yard Rush and 5 Yard College that he's not going anywhere. But fellas, tell everyone where they can find you.
You can find me at 5 Yard College, and my personal Twitter is at @addicted_ff. I don't use it that much anymore. Yeah, @addicted_ff, but mainly at 5 Yard College. And you can hear us on Wednesdays if you don't already.
And you'll find me on Twitter at Nick of Wigan, and no doubt back in the season again when the DFS kicks off.
Yeah, you guys did really well towards the end of last season. Looking forward to seeing that kick on even further, you and Mark. And it's been a lot of fun. We'll get you both on again. We'll work out schedules, but I appreciate you coming on and breaking this down with me. Rush Nation, hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget, if you've not been following us on the socials, the playbook is available for pre-order. It's only available till Tuesday at the low price of $7.99. Link in the show notes. Get out there, go and order it. Support a small local supporting business podcast who are just working on. I tell you now, it's bigger than last year's. It's over 300 pages, loads of content, and we'll get it out to you next week. So pre-order it. Or wait till it comes out on Amazon. Hopefully it'll be out by next Friday. Depends on when they approve it and it goes up. But hopefully it'll be up by the weekend at the very latest. So do check that one out. And message me if you've got any questions at @Murph_NFL. But until next week, Rush Nation, don't forget, keep rushing.
HIV epidemic is not over. HIV is still here.
The face of HIV is so diverse.
The biggest thing to reduce HIV stigma is just to talk about it. Testing and PrEP and HIV treatment and how effective it is today.
Undetectable equals untransmittable. Whether you're positive or negative, there's not a wrong door. Whether it's testing or whether it's treatment, do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about HIV testing, treatment, and prevention at doitforyoumc.org.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment.
Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.